Welcome to Help from Future Self.
Hey, what's going on, Archons? Welcome to Help from Future Self, the conversational KeyForge podcast by and for KeyForge friends. And this week I have brought one of my KeyForge friends who became an IRL friend and has gotten the title that I've chosen to give him to specifically appear on this episode. So let's welcome back to the airwaves. Dan is someone, aka Dan, the originator of Sanctimonious. Dan, what's going on, buddy?
One of the originators. You can't cut Jake out like that.
Well, yes, but Jake's not here.
He's not here. This is true. He's not here.
I mean, right, it'd be cool if Jake was here too. I thought
about that. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
See what his experience has been. I haven't talked to him since the last episode. So there you go. Wow.
That's been a minute.
Just a minute.
Today, the topic of conversation that I wanted to bring up was being a lapsed KeyForge player, because that is something I hadn't considered before. And Ghost Galaxy mentioned it as a reason of something they're looking at when they were bringing back the game and things they were considering doing so. So, for those of you who don't know, Dan is basically a lapsed player.
He, very much.
Part of the reason why he does not have the podcast anymore was it was all leading up to this moment of the official title of lapsed.
Super lapsed.
But before we get into that, I just want to share a bit of news that dropped. For those of you who don't know, there was an article on keyforging.com called "The Secrets of the First Vault Found." That was the name of the article. And in this, there's a nice little highlights video and a lot of really cool stats about decks and sets that were played. Cards that showed up the most was really interesting. Things that I thought were most interesting was that Wild Wormhole was the second most card in the tournament. I thought that was pretty interesting at 30. The only thing that beat it was Infernus at 31. And I don't think anyone is going to be surprised to hear Infernus was the most used or most appeared card in the tournament. That was pretty interesting. And then rounding out the list, third was Daughter at 25. And then Effervescent Principle at 23. And then Ronnie and Infomorph at 22, which is interesting because Infomorph clearly showed up a lot because it was bringing a lot of draw pips to people's decks, and that's what we were looking for. But Ronnie continues to be just the classic powerhouse. I know you're a big Ronnie fan, Dan.
I am a huge Ronnie fan, except for, like, man, I dumped all my heat as I became a lapsed player.
And are you feeling sad now?
I didn't until I played in, like, ABR League 8. I think my team got like third place, and I thought this would be cool. I'd come back and play KeyForge, like some of my KeyForge decks I hadn't played in a while. And then I realized I didn't own any of my KeyForge decks that I would have played in that kind of an event. Oh. I had to borrow decks, like every week was sealed for Dan. And like Why? For a while there, it was funny. I was playing practice games, and those matches seemed to go terribly. But if I literally just showed up with a Coda deck the day of, a borrowed Coda deck, like I won all my games. I went on like a 5-game winning streak at the end of the season, just doing zero prep and just playing only Coda.
Well, there you go. Classic Coda wins. Before we jump into the episode, please be sure to listen until the end, where we will announce some more winners of our 200th episode giveaway. Two winners being announced today. So be sure to listen at the end to see if you might have won. So today I wanted to bring Dan on to talk about his experience becoming a lapsed player. And as you've heard, he started to play a little bit of KeyForge again. Dan also backed the GameFound campaign and has recently received his shipment. So I wanted to kind of have a discussion with him and get some insight and information on what kind of mind state you're in now, because obviously Ghost Galaxy has done some things to try and lure people back in. They seem like they kind of may have slightly lured you, but maybe not totally lured you. So yeah. I'm curious as to your thought process. So let's just go right from the top. What made you lapse from KeyForge in the first place?
So I think the big downfall kind of came Dub C. Like, you and me got together, we went to the Dub C release, and we were super stoked. And then we both opened boxes full of Brobnar, which Brobnar was just awful. But every single deck except for one in our box, like in my box, had Brobnar. Every single deck. And it was so bad.
And then we found out there was the cases of Brobnar. And I think I exchanged one of mine, didn't I?
I don't remember.
I feel like we did something like that.
That was kind of like, I was just like, geez, that is such an issue. And like, I think I got one Star Alliance deck. And Star Alliance, that was the first set with Star Alliance. And I was really excited to play Star Alliance. And it was super bum. So that kind of started to bum me out a little bit. And then, I mean, essentially, I think the biggest thing that kicked it was when COVID hit and all the vault tours went away. Because a lot of my playing was like helping people in the Sanctimonious Discord get ready for events. So, I mean, I had my heat and I could run, you know, people through kind of gauntlets. And so I wasn't going to a lot of events or anything. I wasn't playing locally that much because everything was like an hour plus away and I had two small children. So there wasn't really time. Like if I were to go play a Keyforge event, it was like a 5-6 hour ordeal by the time you're driving and everything. And you know, that's after like an 8 hour work day. And so that's just asking my wife, hey, you know, for 14 hours today, I'm just not going to be here. So that doesn't seem super fair. And I do like my kids. And I mean, I've got one kid now playing Pokemon cards with me. So, you know,
could be worse.
Could be worse.
So that was how it originated, was basically the community and their high level prepping was a big draw for you playing the game.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. I enjoyed, I mean, I helped you, I helped Beehawk, I mean, I helped a bunch of people in the Discord just with, you know, test games where they could just, hey, can we test this matchup? And I enjoyed that. I've always kind of said I was waiting for the mobile app.
Yeah.
The heralded mobile app, because, I mean, I have, like I said, two kids, but, you know, we live in a nice dead-end neighborhood and the kids play outside a lot, and yeah, if I could jam a game while I was kind of sitting out there watching them play, like I'd do that probably. I mean, okay. I've been playing a crap ton of Marvel Snap, so.
Yeah, Marvel Snap definitely has the allure of you're in and out in like less than 10 minutes.
So good. Yeah.
So you mentioned that during COVID when that stopped. So during COVID, what stopped you from playing Keyforge? Because I know a lot of people continuing playing was actually something that they used to cope with the COVID isolation and not being able to go out and play, but you still could go online and there was still a community. Obviously you have a family, which probably contributed to that, but what prevented you from wanting to just participate in all the things that started to come alive during COVID with Keyforge?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, like Dub C just kind of ruined it for me. I didn't really get into MM or Dark Tidings all that much.
Okay, I guess your first real opening of Mass Mutations was last year when I came and visited
and you came down, had those, one of those cheat boxes. Yeah. And I think I just opened my second cheat box of MM the other day and have one pretty decent deck that I've jammed a couple times now. But there's just no draw for me. I don't know. I just over it. Sure. Like I've always kind of said I'm like a 2-year gamer. So, I mean, during COVID, I mean, the only game that really has stuck around I've been playing since 2019 is Rocket League. I've been playing Rocket League with Zope from the Sanctimonious Discord. And we actually just met in person a few weeks ago. So that was fun. But yeah, I've been playing Rocket League with him and another dude whose actual last name is Stalker. And we play Rocket League and Ben plays with Beehawk, plays with us too. And I mean, that was the game that was kind of my sanity check, where we'd play three-ish nights a week from like 9 to 10:30 after the kids are in bed.
Okay. And would you say that part of the reason why you still play Keyforge is because I would talk about it with you? Am I a factor in your Keyforging low level? I mean, the truth is we didn't really play Keyforge that much until I came in person. We were soul forging and any other mobile game.
Like I said, I played ABR Season 8, and that got me to play one game a week. And I was like, oh, this might be okay just to get me to play one game a week. Because I still, like, I enjoy the game for the most part while I'm playing it, but I just don't have, a desire to play.
You don't have that drive to, like, be like, oh, no, I want to play. You don't have that feeling that makes you like, oh, I need to play like, some Keyforge.
Oh, I have 30 minutes for you. What should I play? Like, Keyforge is never the answer in my head. It's like, right. I'd rather go play Rocket League or play some Stalker Anomaly or
Okay.
Just jam a couple quick games of Snap.
Yeah, fair. Now, the next question is, since you did back the game found in a time when you hadn't even come back to playing the game, like this was before ABR Season 8, that the game found campaign existed, what was your draw to do that? Why did you decide in that moment, I actually want to back this?
I mean, it seemed like pretty good value. Like, it's like one of those things, like if this is going to crop up and be something you want to do again, like this is kind of a cool way and kind of get the special of decks. You don't want to really miss out. On like the Unchained decks seem pretty neat. So, I mean, there's just a couple things. It's just like you wanted to support the game. I wanted to support the game. I mean, like I said, I've always enjoyed the game, but just don't have a strong desire anymore to really play it.
Yeah, fair enough. So you like the value, like the specialty decks. I mean, those were definitely a huge draw, like getting a personalized deck. And then the Savior of Keyforge deck is pretty cool. And I know you got yours. What was your thoughts on those special things when you actually had them in person?
I mean, it was pretty fun opening it. I actually made some content again for like the first time in like 2.5 years where I just kind of did a live YouTube opening. Thank you, YouTube. That was super easy, way better than the whole Twitch thing. But
yep. YouTube is straightforward.
I mean, I opened them and then I never, like, I've sleeved a couple of them. I thought I might like jam some self games because it wasn't on TCO yet, but I didn't even do that. And when me and Zook met up, I got to play my Unchained deck one time. And I mean, I just got roundly stomped because I had no idea what his cards were doing across. I barely knew what my own cards were doing.
What did you think of the Unchained concept? Did you like it? Did you think it was...
It seems neat. I mean, I need to play those decks more. Like, I guess it was weird when we were playing the game. I was like, why didn't I make any token creatures? And he's like, well, you're playing an Unchained deck. Like, it has a token creature, but you probably don't have any cards that make tokens. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. Unfortunate. I think Amberling was the token creature that I had.
That's a good one too.
Yeah. So I was
it's a good one that you don't get to make.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, well, yeah, I guess this deck's not quite as silly as I thought it was. But I mean, again, too, it's just, I mean, that was my first game playing Keyforge in a long time that day. And yeah, I mean, I have no game plan. My ordering's all off and yeah.
Okay.
Back to noob status.
I mean, it's not a Coda deck that you can just open up and play. I will say, though, that when there's like a new set, I do feel like a noob as well. There's just things like the repetitions of, even if you've never played the deck before, the cards in any sort of sequence, there's a degree of familiarity. And when there's new cards, there's zero familiarity. Like, even if you've read all the cards, you know what they do. Seeing how they actually are composed within the deck, I think makes a big difference from I understand what these cards say to I understand how they interact together based on the way they will show up.
Yeah, and I'm like four sets behind at this point. Like,
I mean, you're not like four sets behind. That's a gross exaggeration.
Dub C is the only set that I really know. I do not know Mass Mutation. Okay, three sets. Mass Mutation, Dark Tidings, and Whoa, I don't know the cards.
Fair. So I want to bring this back to the lapsed player aspect and something that was done by Ghost Galaxy as, I guess, an allure to bring back some lapsed players in. And that was the new introduction of a format called Alliance. And when you heard this, Dan, did it in any way make you go, oh, I'm interested in playing Keyforge again? Was it anything about that that was interesting? Because at the same time that I feel like that was announced, you and I were playing Soulforge quite consistently. And it really is kind of like Soul. Like, if you think about it, Alliance is Soulforge to a degree.
It is Soulforge, yeah. Yeah, again, like, I didn't have any of my Heat decks anymore. And I don't know, it just seemed tedious to have to go through and feel like there's a tedium in that I didn't want to breach at all. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, even in Soulforge, it's the same thing. Like, you're really trying to figure out, it's like a puzzle, but it's only two pieces,
that one's
not
fun
three.
Because you go into that game expecting it. It was just like, it was such a weird step for Keyforge because, I mean, that wasn't, I mean, it's cool because, yeah, there's definitely decks I have in my collection probably that have like two amazing houses. If you could switch out the weak house, like, it'd be crazy. But I don't know.
If you had your collection still and you hadn't sold off some of your Heat, you think you might have been more excited for the concept of Alliance, basically?
Yeah, probably, because like I think my Oppenheimer would have been amazing if I could have gotten rid of the Brobnar. Okay. And the Brobnar had the Ganger Chieftains. I don't know, but the Brobnar was dead a lot. Like, because that was my triple Ronnie, triple Exhum.
Right.
So if you throw like Logos into that deck where you get some draw and some archiving, like, oh my goodness, that thing probably would have been salty. So yeah, that might have made it better. But again, yeah, Oppenheimer kind of died with the big board meta because it had no board clears and no way to really meaningfully go against a board.
Fair. So that is an issue. So Alliance was not something that would have drawn you back in. It was one of those things that it was, you're like, cool, but it's not enough. And in fact, you felt like it was more work in a game that you were not fully interested in.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just curious to hear your thoughts of like, are any of the initiatives pulling you back in? Like,
yeah, not that one.
What about the new set being created? Like when you started hearing about the, because I know as much as you're away from the game, you obviously heard news and you couldn't not being part of the Gamefound campaign and Winds of Exchange being a new set. Under a new company, because I mean, FFG obviously had its issues with certain things and they were quite pronounced in some ways. Did having a new steward of the game, creating a new set in any way, create a pull for you to be interested at all? And now you have some decks, so we'll do some follow-ups with that regard. But just the initial knowledge that a new set was coming out and the way they were creating a new mechanic in the game, did that create any allure to like, oh, maybe I should think about Keyforge again?
Yeah, I mean, it made me curious. I had to look into how the token creatures worked and everything. And I mean, I've already messed that up one time with the whole Keyforge zero card in draw pile rule.
Right.
it's like, she's really seriously. No, I mean, pretty much every set of Keyforge that comes out, I'm always usually curious. Like, I think Dark Tidings, I just went to like a local game store and bought like three decks and jammed it for a little while and had a good time. Like, it seems like every time a set comes out, yeah, it draws me back for maybe like a week or two to go test out the new set a little bit, but it never really lasts much further. Like, I mean, when I first got in, I mean, I was in and I was like scouring like deck sales looking for hidden gems and, you know,
mm-hmm.
And now I'm not scouring anything, just playing super casually.
All right. Well, fair enough. So it did pique your interest, and let's move on to the fact that I requested that you actually play some of your woke decks before you come on with me, because I wanted to hear your standpoint on a new set, having not really been playing that much and getting to play a new concept, new cards, new house. Like, what was your thoughts on that?
This is the most complex set ever created for Keyforge.
Like, that's what you think?
Light years beyond anything. Yeah, and I mean, I talked to B-Hawk. I played like three of my games against B-Hawk, against various of his woe decks. And there's so much going on with the tokens, and there's so many conditions, and so many, like, it's crazy. And I mean, he kind of agreed too. It's like very advanced mode Keyforge. Like, it is not Coda.
we've come a long way.
Coda was the perfect first set for the game. Like, there was the simple but depth, and now it's like complex and depth. And I mean, it's just super complex. Like, my head is spinning playing woe decks against woe decks.
Yeah, this isn't your grandparents' Keyforge anymore.
No, like every creature has like three ability. I mean, not three abilities, but they all have abilities. Saying. They all have after reap. They all have when this happens. This, I mean, I've got two of the seven power Saurian dudes that if the opponent reaps, they just take four damage. It's just like, it's just so much to track and keep straight. And then the token creatures coming in and those, you know, eating one of the cards in your deck, essentially.
What is your thoughts on that, actually? I'm curious. Because I think that's the most interesting change. Because Keyforge before was always, if you can get through your deck, you will see every card, and you can play every card in your deck. And now you're in a position where you may not see every card, so you can't rely on that. But I think it's a double edged thing because of the fact that.
I think it's super double. I mean,
your opponent doesn't know where you're if you're going to get is your card tokenized that they're worried about, or is it like still coming? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like my deck is a name deck. My name deck that I played all five of my games with. It's like, I mean, I'll bring up the SAS. I mean, I looked it up. I was curious. It's like a 73 SAS, so it's like a decent deck. But it has Epic Poem, and it has a lot of different ways. Like in a game against Ben, I got one of my creatures up to 8 captured Amber, and I could not find Epic Poem. And I didn't even think about Epic Poem could turn into a token if I were to token it, because I have a couple of the token maker cards that also archive themselves if you hit certain conditions. There's just so much stuff. Like, there's so many conditions. Like, I've got an Omni creature that, you know, if I have less creatures, then I get to capture one. Mm-hmm. It's another layer of complexity in a deck. Cause I feel like there's maybe some decks, yeah, those tokens are like amazing and you need to make them as much as possible. And I could see a very real case for some decks that if you really need a card or if you're digging for a card, you're just discarding token makers because you can't afford to lose that card. Like if you're needing that board clear and you're trying to dig and you have a token maker and it's another decision point. Like, do I want the token creature that could possibly be my board wipe? Or yeah,
I've been in that position before.
Yeah, so it's not something I've considered yet. I mean, typically when I first play a deck, I literally just play every card. Like for good or bad, I just play it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like
to see what happens.
I got screwed in one of the games against Beehawk where I had the Saurian artifact that says the least powered creature can't reap. And he had a board of Brobnar and I had a board of Saurian dudes, like big beefy dudes on board. So 5 was the lowest power out there. Like 3 of my guys were 5. 3 of my Saurian creatures were 5. So I'm like a board full of Saurian and I can only use 2 of them, the 2 7 powered dudes.
That's pretty funny.
It was, he's like, why did you play that? I'm like, I don't know. I just play every card when I'm first playing a deck. We'll figure out whether or not, like, you think you drop that artifact and you drop a bunch of 5 and 7 powers. You're like, yeah, there's no way these creatures aren't going to be the ones that aren't able to reap.
And then lo and behold, they were the ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you mentioned the complexity of the game. And do you think that's a good thing? Because, you know, Keyforge has always been talked about. It's like a game of discovery and you're learning the decks. And the more you play it, you know, the more you understand it. Do you think that these decks are going to actually create more value in the sense that the time you invest in the decks is going to take longer to truly unlock all its potential and secrets where, you know, older decks, like especially Coda, you could get to that point faster and then just really understand your mastery of playing? Do you think that these newer sets and the complexity are going to create a longer journey for discovery and mastery?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good for the long-standing player and the player that's playing constantly. Like, because it just, like I said, it's advanced mode Keyforge. Like, I'm not in that mindset anymore. Like, that is, it's just so much that it's just, like, mind-boggling. And, like, man, I don't know. Like, would you give a new player a WoW deck and be like, here, try this game. It's really fun. Because, I mean, I don't know that I would. I think I would go back to, like, Coda or AoA where things were...
I think AoA is a good jump into yeah, this it's not set, quite or even
as when... simple as Coda. It's got a few more advanced mechanics, but it's still not.
And it's not like heavy Ember control, which is doesn't exist the same way here, I think, as well. So you'd be more understanding that you got to be creative in how you utilize things. So
I think it's good for the competitive crowd because, like I said, yeah, it is super complex and there's a lot to track, and you can just. I mean, you can get yourself or get your opponent based on, you know, just some kind of innate restriction on the board that you're not aware of.
Right.
Or just not cognizant of how it's going to play out.
No, totally. I get that. That makes sense. So you think that this being the first set that the game is relaunching and trying to draw new players in, you think that that actually might hurt some of the people staying around? Cause it's almost, you know, sometimes I find games where if the longer it takes you to understand the rules, the less likely you are to be hooked into the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like
sometimes
I get it.
You constantly
entirely.
Look at the rules, yeah. Then you're not in the flow state of the game. So.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to ask a really like a brand new player that what was the first one they play. I mean, cause I feel like, yeah, if you get over the complexity or if you, I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like other card games. It seems like this one's just so much more complex because everything does something different. Because like even Magic, you have like vanilla, like the creatures seem pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Like there's some, you know, but there's also some that just fill in that are...
They're just fill in or, you know, they're just, their abilities are pretty simple when you really get down to it. But here we have before fight, before reap, deploy, you know, like there's just so many different things or just abilities. If this happens, then this happens with the creature, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think that's, I never really thought of it from that way, but the complexity of deck discovery was actually something I hadn't really thought about, that you saying it now made me think of it. And that's always, I think, been the greatest draw to someone who's a Keyforge player, is the potential of unlocking certain interesting interactions within your deck and cards, and maybe other cards that you haven't seen yet that are going to come from a matchup. So I was interested to hear you speak of it that way and what that provides.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they make it through the initial complexity, I think it's going to really hook people. But I can definitely see some people that are just like, holy smokes, my head is spinning. And I just don't know that I want to commit to learning all that.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I personally, if I'm bringing anyone new into the game, I'm going a set-by-set sort of introduction moving up. Because I think that if I'm personally teaching someone, it's good for them to experience the way those sets play and just gradually go up in complexity, not only for the ease of learning, but also for the getting to see what existed before you came into the game and getting a little bit of exposure to that, so it's not like a culture shock to a degree.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like I said, if I were to do it, yeah, I'd definitely go back. I would not start a new person with WoW and tokens and everything. Like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Dark Tidings falls into the same category, because the idea of tide and remembering to switch the tide is that I would almost entirely skip Dark Tidings for a while. Like, I'd almost teach Woe before Dark Tidings, because you don't get burned by something. Like, you can get burned by missing the tide if someone's not like chill and like, oh yeah, you can go back and switch the tide. Like, that was, but I like that. I found that Dark Tidings really made you think about sequencing. Like, sequencing became so important in your mental state of being aware of, you got to be thinking about a checklist of things before you do actions, which doesn't exist in WoW the same way, but it was really strong in Dark Tidings, and I thought that was an interesting way the game kind of went in that moment. All right, last question, and then we'll wrap up, is what would you need to exist in the game to actually really pull you back in? Is there something, you know, if this existed, I would probably be all in again?
If you're like 10 minutes, well, just somebody to play in person with. Like, if I could get together and actually like play the cards, I think I would be back into it. I used to have a buddy that was into it for a little bit, but then he also dropped out too. So that, you know.
So basically, if I lived in the same town as you and we could get to each other's house within 15 minutes, you'd be playing regularly.
I'd be playing way more regularly. Yeah, that'd be amazing, because, yeah, I've got so many, like, and we had a blast. The last time you came out here and we just played Blind Sealed with my MM box. Yep. I mean, that was a freaking blast. Like, that was super fun. I think that's, like, almost the best way to play Keyforge, is just Blind Sealed. Don't look at the decks. And we all of us Keyforgers have so many freaking decks. Like, I have so many still in the original plastic wrapping. That, like, I was telling Blake before the podcast as we were chatting, I was just like, it would be fun to just do like grab bags, like, of sets. It's like literally just put all those plastics wrapped up ones into a bag and just do blind, like, pull out a blind deck, pulls. Play it.
Yeah,
blind pulls, play it. Like, just bounce around from set to set and just actually use some of these decks that have never seen the table, or scanned into DOK, realize they're not the best, and then just abandoned forever.
Yeah, I mean, because they're still fun in person to jam those.
Oh, they're super fun. Like, yeah, especially when you're playing Blind Sealed, you're not sure what's going to come up. You don't know. You know, you're just reacting, you're looking to at the what's list. Happening.
Yeah, totally.
No, let's talk about lists really quick, because I told Ben after today's game, like, that's the part where I feel the worst at the game. I mean, obviously, I'm the worst at the game at that, because I don't know any of the last three sets cards, but. He's like, well, it's not that important. Well, I was like, no, for me it was, because when I was playing, I would know my deck that I was playing. I'd kind of know its basic strategy and what it's trying to do and kind of the important cards. And then by looking at the other list and understanding, like, being able to kind of formulate what that list was actually trying to do in my head and what cards in my deck were going to be very important is a huge deal to winning and losing in Keyforge. Because I just, no, I mean, I agree, like I said, I've been playing blind. So I've literally just, like, I went wide against Ben today in one of the games. And I'm like, he's probably got a board clear and I'll probably get blown out by this. But I don't, I was trying to find Epic Poem to convert that eight amber into eight amber in my side. Oh, but yeah, it's it's been a journey.
Fair. Yeah. I mean, that's, I'm glad you got to play again, because and I was really excited to have you on the airwaves with me again to discuss this, because I was really curious on your thoughts as someone who I knew had lapsed, and I wanted to have you share your thoughts as someone who, for people who have been around for a bit, they know your voice. But yeah, so that was just great to get this conversation. But of course, we can't end an episode without our titular segment, which of course we call
Help from Future Self.
Dan, I think you have some advice for your future self. What is that advice you'd like to impart to our listeners?
Maybe do some KeyForge warm-up before you jump into WoW. It's so complex, and there's so many timings and triggers and everything that I don't know if it's a great set to just jump back into. Like, I feel like if I would go back and play like a bunch of Dub C and I never even played that much Mass Mutation, really. Played some, I didn't play a lot, but just like some of that stuff to kind of get the basics back and then come into WoW. So, because yeah, it's just, there's a lot going on in WoW.
Yeah, I think WoW Mass Mutation is the hotness it's looking like, and for a variety of reasons. I think it's because it's the pandemic set, really. Like, it came out like right at the start of the pandemic, and then KeyForge stores started going kind of downhill and trying to purge products. So we were able to get so much of it cheap. So people got huge bulks of, especially in the competitive scene, like bulks of decks to figure out how to play around with. So it's kind of interesting. And honestly, I love playing Mass Mutation, but to a degree, I'm also, it's like stale a little bit for me. Like, my favorite decks exist there, but it's also in a way stale, because like, I don't want to open up a sealed Mass Mutation in a way. I find it like, I played so much. It's all I played during the pandemic. So,
yeah. I mean, I think Mass Mutation was like the ideal, like, Coda Child, where you could just jam Amber really fast, but it also had really interesting board states, which mm-hmm. Coda never really had.
Yeah. That's much. A good point. Yeah. It added it's like the complexity and the simplicity of Coda all in one, basically.
Yeah, or the straightforwardness. With the enhancements and everything, really.
Yeah, that was such a great introduction. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's wrap it up now. So thank you so much, Dan, for coming on and sharing your thoughts on KeyForge after stepping away from the game from the way you were before. I mean, I still have the greatest memories of you and Joe, aka Zoded, from just helping me prep for the Vegas Vault Tour. Like, those were good times. And it's nice that you and I can always jam some KeyForge IRL when I come and visit. So thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing your views as someone who stepped away. Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Funny, people have been saying they wanted to hear from me, and I was like, well, if I had anything intelligent to say, I'd be there.
Well, it looks like you let them down again.
I let them down again. Zero intelligence on this podcast.
No, your insights were honestly great. I know people will appreciate that, especially maybe some new players who are maybe hearing the podcast through different channels and getting to know maybe they need to play some things and get some stuff that isn't WoW, a couple of decks just to understand things, might help them build into WoW when they have that collection in front of them right now, or maybe just know that they need to be patient and allow themselves time to have that discovery of the deck and know that whatever happens at the beginning will not be the same as what's happening a couple months from now. So stick with it. I do like that that insight you provided. If people want to reach out to you and just share your ideas, I guess they find you on Discord channels, right?
Yeah, Discord. I still lurk in the Sanctimonious Discord, and I'm still in your Discord. Like,
okay,
I don't lurk that one as much, but I tend to hop in the Inner Sanctum and see what's going on, kind of.
Yeah, so you can add him on the Discord on our channel.
On there. Yep.
What's your Discord handle?
It's just Dan is someone. It's Dan is someone everywhere.
It's D-A-N-I-S.
S-O-M-E-1.
All right, perfect. Thank you. And of course, you can find me on the Discords as well, Boulevard Blake, number sign 3840. My YouTube is a little bit more silent this week. For those of you who don't know, I have a puppy and I have not been able to get content going the way I would like. Plus the Game Found box is coming and I've had a lot going on right now, but there will be content aflowing very soon. All right, it's time to announce the winners of our giveaway. And today we'll be giving away one Unchained deck and one WoW deck, as well as Keyforge Adventures and one WoW deck. So let's see who the winners are. And first winner of a Keyforge Unchained deck and a Keyforge Winds of Exchange deck is Philip, who goes by Robot Romeo. And the second winner is Julian, who goes by Nonfiction on the Discord, who's winning a Keyforge Adventures and a Winds of Exchange deck. Congratulations to both of you. We will be reaching out via email to get the details. And I just want to say thank you to everyone in the Discord. This has been a heated week in the discussion channel. I had to put on the slow mode just to stop the rapid fire responses. I appreciate it, everyone understanding the reasoning for that and knowing that it's not to stifle your thoughts or your opinions. It's actually just, I felt the conversation was snowballing in a way. And I wanted everyone to just be able to, you know, take a beat and allow themselves to compose themselves and not necessarily get caught up in the snowball of a discussion. So I hope everyone understands, and please remember to just think of other people and be respectful when someone expresses their own opinion. It is their opinion and you can have your opinion and we will all get along together. This is a fantastic game, and let's keep that in mind, that we are community-driven, community-based, and we will stay strong as a community through whatever happens. So stay together. And until next time, folks, stay forging.
Archons of the Crucible, woe to the feeble-minded lapsed player. Woe to who doesn't know what the cards do. But as always, forge those keys.